Welcome back to the Don't Worry About It podcast, where we talk all things mental health related, from anxiety to depression, from happiness to sadness, and all emotions and feelings in between. My name is David Izzo, and I started this podcast to help facilitate conversations related to mental health topics. When I first started the podcast, I wanted to create a platform and a space where people would feel comfortable coming on and sharing their story dealing with mental health issues. I knew that if I was going to ask others to come on, then I had to share as well. So I asked my good friend Veer Ofer to interview me, and that episode was my story. It's now been 30 episodes since that recording came out, and the podcast has grown in so many ways, and I've grown along with it. And I felt it was time for me to give an update on the podcast and on myself, so I'm doing it in two parts. Part one is this episode where I asked Effie Hirschman, gave him the reins to the podcast, and said, help me get this out. She gave you guys a behind the scenes of what goes into making the podcast and all that goes into it, as well as in part two, upcoming in a few days, more behind what's been going on with me. I want to take the time now to thank Effie for taking this responsibility on and helping me get this out. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Welcome to the Don't Worry About It podcast. I'm Effie Hirschman, the guest host for tonight's episode. And with me is David Izzo, the regular host of tonight's episode. We're going to flip the tables on David tonight and talk to him about where he is in life, the podcast, give our audience, our beloved listeners, an update as to where the podcast has been and where it's going, and hear a little bit more about David. David, welcome.
Effie, thanks for taking the reins for this podcast. I'm glad to be back. I want to be back in the hot seat. I feel after doing 32 episodes, this will be number 33. I haven't really spoken in detail about what's going on with me since episode 3, my story, which really just led up to the podcast. And, you know, back when I started, I had no idea I'd be at episode 33. I'd hoped for it, but I didn't know I'd get here. So the fact that I'm even here is just awesome. And I felt like it was time for me to start sharing more, and in some ways more about me in this forum that I'm able to. And then also I feel like it's, you know, if I'm going to ask other people to do it, I feel like I have a responsibility to do it as well, to the best of my own ability.
Great. Well, I think that's going to be great. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about, this is episode 33, you said, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you started this podcast 6, 7, 8 months ago. And, in our lives and in the lives of anyone's lives, but particularly the lives of probably the demographic of the age of 10 to 30, 8 months is a long period of time where a lot has happened. And, you know, I'm sure a lot is going on in your life since the podcast began. And I'm sure that, you know, and can you tell me in terms of, you know, your life, the last 8 months, you know, what kind of role has this podcast been playing in your life? And, you know, what's been going on? What's been going on since you started?
So I guess I lasted in July. Since then, you know, COVID, the only consistent thing really in my life besides the podcast has been COVID. Then definitely thought by February, COVID would be in the rearview mirror. I hope at least. But since then, you know, a lot of my life has changed. This podcast has taken the form that I'd always hoped it would be. In a lot of ways, there's still a lot of room for growth and for improvement, and I'm willing and open to do that. But since then, you know, I was living back at home. I had an apartment in the city, but I was living at home during roughing out COVID. It was just an easier life. But my family, we sold our house in Englewood, so I've been back since September, early September, back in the city full time, and it's been an adjustment going from the suburbs to the city. Especially for COVID, it's harder. It's just a different pace. But other than that, my life kind of has been, you know, just figuring out how to build out this podcast and figuring out who I am with the podcast, outside of the podcast, and also thinking about long-term what I want to be doing with my own life, with the podcast, without the podcast. So it's been a lot of big questions. Turned 26 recently, so.
Wow, happy birthday.
Yeah, I mean, that's another year. Made it to 26. That's cool, I guess. I don't know, birthdays are super weird to me. I always think it's like a celebration for like my parents, like, congratulations, you got a kid to 26, like, super cool. Like, I made it. Excited for this upcoming year, I guess. I think 26 is going to be a weird year, especially again, starting out with COVID. When I turned 25 a year ago, that was COVID was just like in the news, and it was like nobody really knew what it was. And then I just turned 26 and COVID's still here, and I don't know when it's going to end. Vaccines are here, so that's awesome. Hoping to return to some life of some normalcy, but I don't even know what normalcy looks like anymore. I think we're living in a new world, and there's not really a chance to go back, and that's also cool. You can kind of people have recreated themselves during COVID. This podcast didn't exist before COVID. It's something, an idea, a concept that I knew I wanted to do in some fashion. So, like, I don't know. I'm kind of bullish on this upcoming year and seeing what's gonna happen for me.
Cool. Wow. All right. So there's a whole lot to unpack in just those couple of sentences and, you know, that short description of what's going on. Because anyone that attempts to take 8 months and summarize it in a minute and a half is, you know, not doing themselves justice. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole lot of very interesting things that you said, but I think I want to start a little bit at the beginning, because you said that a whole lot has really changed. You went from living at home in, you know, the suburbs to the city. And you said, I mean, part of what you said was one of the few consistent things in your life has been the podcast. Has that been something that you're hanging on to for, you know, is that you consider that like a cornerstone, something to grab onto, something to hold on to when things seem, you know, volatile and inconsistent and a little, you know, like nobody really knows what's happening in a month from now, let alone in 6 months from now, you know? So how does the podcast and your development of the podcast play into your own life?
I use it as a marker for like where I am in life with the podcast in terms of success. The better it does, the better I feel about myself and about where I'm at, really. It's very much connected. I feel myself in the podcast in a lot of ways have become one. I don't think that's necessarily such a healthy mindset to have. I'm working on it. But for a lot of my life now has become about the podcast. I mean, it's not a joke. It's not a joke anymore. It's not something that I tried. It's, you know, 30. Now we're in, this is episode 33. Like, this proof of concept here. I've had so many different guests from different walks of life with different stories, and the ability to play a facilitating role in just providing a platform for people to come out to means a lot to me. And I know how much it means to others. And I take that responsibility very light. Like, not, I don't take that responsibility lightly. I take it very, very seriously. The process that I go to of getting guests, and people always ask me, how do I get guests? You know, for a lot of it's organic reach out. People reach out to me. Some I've, you know, responded back after like some unbelievable messages that people have sent me. And I've just asked them, hey, if you're interested, I'd love to have you on. And some of those have converted. Some are potentially going to convert, and some aren't. And, you know, the goal of the podcast isn't to necessarily inspire someone to come onto the podcast. It's always great if it happens, but the goal has been to hope that people in their own lives will learn something and take it away. Maybe it'll help them if they're struggling to seek help, to talk to somebody, whether it's a spouse, a sibling, a parent, really anybody, a friend, just to talk to people. Because the more I believe that people communicate, the more they won't feel alone. They'll feel like they're not the only one going through something. And that, to me, has been like one of the best parts about doing it. It's a reminder to myself, as I struggle with my own mental health issues, it's always a reminder that I'm not alone, and sometimes I forget. And it's been pretty, I'm not sure I answered your question completely, but
I think you did. I actually think so. There's two things I want to respond. I think I'm going to begin quickly with just saying that I think that the premise that you're finding this podcast on is very true. I at one time spoke to a Holocaust survivor, and she was, you know, and I was talking to her about how she managed to move on from her life, you know, after she, you know, saw everyone in her family getting killed in front of her, and, you know, how she managed to like move on, she was a particularly happy, pleasant, enjoyable lady. And I said, well, what do you, you know, how can you have moved on from your life? And she looked at me and she just said, when everyone around you goes through the same thing, you just kind of learn to live, you know? And obviously this is, you know, a very extreme example. But I don't think enough people really understand that everyone really has, you know, what I like to call growing pains, in the sense that you really don't know what you're going to do with yourself, and discovering who you are and what you want to accomplish and what you're here in this world in your limited time here for is a scary thing. And it's, and a lot of people feel alone in it because they see other people around them having succeeded in it. And I think that what you're doing is really, really phenomenal. But there's something you said at the beginning, which is, you know, you're finding yourself a lot more connected to the pod. Like, you see, you know, you and the podcast are becoming a little bit less discernible in your own eyes, you know, like you're one with the podcast almost. And I want to know what you think. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You and I spent the weekend together a couple of weekends ago, and we're talking about the podcast. And, you know, you said that you were confident that if anyone else had this idea and tried to take over this podcast, they wouldn't do it as well as you, because there's something about you that, you know, that you felt was, you know, there's a unique sense about the way that you facilitate, the way that you talk, you know, especially, you know, I mean, even after we're looking back at tonight, you're going to look at this and say, you know, oh, I, you know, the way that I would have done it would have been X, Y, and Z. And is that such a bad thing, do you think? To, you know, have this podcast be an expression of David Izzo. I mean, as long as David Izzo doesn't lose who he is in the podcast, and the podcast becomes a reflection of you, wouldn't you think that's a good thing?
Well, I think that the premise has to be about identity from the start. Before you even get into that, it's how do you identify at, like, not how, like, what are you identifying as, like, what, who do you, like, believe that you are and know that you are? And I think for a lot of people, myself included, identity crisis is a big thing, especially at 26, not married, don't have a full-time job yet. It's figuring out who am I. So the podcast gives me purpose in a way, and it gives me meaning because I'm servicing of myself while also being able to help others in a way. At least that's the way I have to think about it to make myself feel better. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant, but I don't know if it's a bad thing, so to speak. I'll say what I'll also clarify, you know, when we were speaking, when I said, I believe I am the proprietary part of this podcast, I also want to remind you that I also said anybody could start a podcast. I don't think anybody could do it like me, because I'm me. There's nobody else that's like me in the world in sense of who I am and my experiences. I do believe somebody could start another mental health podcast in a different way, or maybe in the same form, and they might be better, it might be not, I don't know.
But it wouldn't be the same.
And so, right. So to clarify that, I also meant when I said I myself in the podcast, I identify a lot with the podcast. It's really, it's success. It's really about how it's doing. I find myself very tied to emotionally, at least with happy and sad, or with those type of emotions. Are the better the podcast is doing, the better I feel about it. And that could be episode, looking at the analytics and seeing more plays, growth in episodes, or it could be just likes, comments, interactions on socials that I do it, or the best are, you know, the messages that I get from people. People that I would expect messages to, those help a lot. But the ones that I never in a million years would think that would listen or would even reach out, because there's so many barriers to just listen. I think there's not so much risk in listening to an episode, but there is an acknowledging to the host that you're listening to the episode. Because the content is very sensitive. You know, I'm pretty bullish on mental health and the way people listen. But I give every guest that comes on, you know, you're a two-time guest, I give you guys all a ton of credit. It's not easy to do, to open up, to share like this. You're giving out a lot of information. I think you're doing an incredible thing, but it's not easy. It takes a toll. It's a lot of responsibility in doing what I'm doing. I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form. I'm not trying to be. But there has been a little pushback from people on that fact as well. And it kind of, I feel like I'm the actual first real imposter for imposter syndrome, where it's not a syndrome, like I am. I just am an imposter in that sense, but I don't market myself as one.
Do you think so?
Yes, in a lot of ways, but no, because I don't market myself as a mental health expert. I don't, for the best of my ability, I don't really try and give advice. I'll tell people what works for me or what I think. but I never really, I don't think I ever force advice on anyone. And I'm, you know, just as vulnerable as, and at risk or at like anybody else of just actually needing to heed, you know, my own story, my own advice and my own thoughts as anybody else would be. Like, I mean, I'm human and that's kind of like the point, which is why I think it kind of works. I don't know. It's very hard to understand why episodes do well, but why they don't and why the podcast does well. Cause as much feedback as I do get in the comments and the messages are great. It's very, people are very, it's very hard for people to be very specific about what they like in an episode and what they don't. It's very, feedback kind of gets very generic. So for me, it's been, it can be very hard if I see an episode not doing to higher standards. And I know it's not, I know, I don't know if it's my fault or I did something wrong or the guest wasn't good or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, the responsibility kind of falls on me. And I've had to train myself and to really work at not letting the play count or the interaction of a post or an episode affect me mentally. And it really did at first. I was so obsessive about it and it really would ruin my day or make me feel bad. And now I'm trying to wean myself off of that and to get to a more emotionally healthier place with that relationship. But at the end of the day, this is my baby and I'm responsible for it. And my success is kind of tied to it. I mean, I'm still looking for a full-time job. I'm not going to stop this when hopefully when I find one, or my dream would be that this becomes something that I can do. But it's very hard to be a face of a mental health podcast when you're not a mental health expert and with the way people look at and think about mental health today. So.
Right. Wow. This is, the sheer rawness and honesty is really blowing me away. Kudos to you 100% for taking the time and explaining, you know, almost what the feelings and the life and the person behind the podcast feels on a regular basis. And I mean, I could only imagine we're 32, 33 episodes in, and you said that a lot of your day and a lot of your quote unquote, your mental health on a day-to-day basis is largely dependent on how these episodes turn out. And you're 33 episodes in. That's months of what must be ups and downs and, you know, weeks where things are great and weeks where things were just felt like, you know, is this even worth doing anymore? What do you do to push through? What do you do on the weeks that you feel that, you know, whether or not it's true that you feel like this episode was a quote unquote bomb or whether it was difficult or whether, you know, it didn't get as much interaction as you would have liked or you thought it deserved and vice versa. How do you maintain consistency? Because 6-7 months of this must be exhausting to anybody.
It is, but I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit. I think you're giving me a good amount of credit. But then you're giving me a little too much.
You deserve it.
Because when you're starting this podcast, you know, you're doing it like in the beginning, there's no stake. They're not really stakes in terms of play count when I first started, right? I had some of my closest friends come on. You were one of the early guests as well. And when people are coming on, it was kind of like, it's very startup-y vibes where like, we're just kind of like figuring it out what it is. I don't even know what the podcast was then. It was just, I'm just doing it and we'll see how it goes. And in the beginning, I think there was a lot of success in terms of like interactions. And I think that a lot of my early support came from close friends and from inner people. And then it kind of started to bleed out into people that I wasn't so close with. So in the beginning to get it started wasn't very hard because there was no stakes for me. Like if it didn't work, it didn't work. And I'd figure out something else to do. I still have something that we're planning on working on, building out the brand of this podcast. And if me doing the podcast wasn't going to be successful, then that's fine. And that I think in a way still is for me. I mean, I think the podcast is works. I think proof of concept is there, but I think for me about figuring out how I'm going to, how I kind of figure that out. I think that first part, I'm trying to think about an episode count where I felt like a turning point, but I definitely did have like an oh shit moment where, like, it's not fun and games anymore.
I remember that, you know, when you and I hadn't spoken to you in years. You and I hadn't been in touch in years. I'd seen you around Manhattan, the Upper West Side. But then I saw this podcast and I reached out to you. And you and I mean, have gone incredibly close since then. I've been on a couple of times. You and I talk about episodes on a daily, if not weekly basis. And, this has really helped rekindle a friendship. But, did you feel that the stakes were more alive when people that you were not necessarily, that weren't in your inner group of close friends started reaching out to you and saying whether it impacted them? Is that the moment you said, okay, this is for real, you know?
No, when I say stake, like, there are always stakes because you're dealing with such sensitive content. The best way I can explain it is some of my closest friends were my first guests. Within the first 10 episodes, like, I've had almost everyone that's, like, one of my closest friends, if that were willing to come on, like, they've been on. And in each one of those episodes, and they're, like, my best friends in the world, like, really, like, I've known them for years, like, really gone through a lot together. I learned a lot, like at least one to multiple, like, big things in their lives that I didn't know. And that's kind of when I understood, and that happened earlier, that's when I kind of understood, like, that people are not communicating, and there's a lot in their life and they're willing to open up and share. And now that's very good in a way, but it's very dangerous.
Is it dangerous for you or dangerous for them?
Both.
Please elaborate.
Yeah. Because it has a lot of therapeutic and therapy-esque ways about it, where I ask questions, reflect, but it's not therapy. People who have issues, you're not coming onto this podcast to do a therapy session if you really want to work out your issues. Like, that's not – I mean, I think a lot of people have said, like, they've had realizations. I know I've had realizations just by speaking out loud. You come to your own realizations. But I'm not trying to be a therapist here. Like, I reject is a harsh word, but – I've told people at least one person who's expressed interest. And I said, I always want to know, like, why they want to come on. To me, it's, like, so crazy. But for them, like, really want to understand, like, well, okay, well, then if you want to come on, like, what are we going to talk about? And someone, like, wrote, like, this very, like, detailed thing. And I was like, I don't think you're ready to come on. Like, and I explained my reasoning why. And I said, if you have, like, reason you think you are, like, we'll talk about that. And, like, we'll figure out a way to do it. But that person wasn't right. They were talking about sensitive information. I don't think they were understood the scope of what they were trying to do. They just had been inspired by it, by the guest. And that's awesome. Like, to be inspired, but the goal isn't for not everyone needs to come on this podcast. Not everyone needs to do it. It's not for everyone in that fashion. And even if it is, it's not necessarily for that person at this moment. The goal, like I said earlier, and why I love what I've been able to do is that I hope and I think I've accomplished it based off of very limited feedback that I've gotten, is that it has helped people communicate, whether it's friends with myself or myself with other friends and for people in their own lives. And that's kind of been the part, but there was a turning point when I really understood the gravitas of what I'm doing. And there is, for people who think I might be being dramatic, I say, I think you're 100% wrong. This stuff is heavy. There's laughter in episodes, and there's funny components to it, but it is serious stuff that people talk about, and it's tough. You know, people are, I think, might be coming on to opening up about things that they may not even realize or haven't processed yet, or maybe their family members. You're publishing, and listen, I don't have the craziest platform yet, and a crazy sized audience. We're working on it. But there is a stable of people that do listen to almost every episode, if not every episode, and people who get exposed to it with every new guest. And, like, you put this out there, it's out there. There's no turning back. Anyone can listen to it, and it can affect your personal life. If you're trying to date, like, that's out there. Someone Googles you, your name will come up. Obviously,
did I tell you that? I told you that, I think, right?
Yeah, you told me that, right? It happened to you. I know. I don't know if it's happened to me yet, but it's something that I think about. I think it has in a way hurt me in that it can hurt me and help me in that department also. But my point being is that there's stakes, and I really think long and hard about it before I do every episode. And I kind of, like, every day I kind of ask the question: is, am I really willing to? Am I ready to, like, do this? And is this still something that I think I need to be doing and should be doing? And every day the answer has been yes. There have been days where I've thought maybe it might be no for a little bit, but I know that that's just kind of fear and self-sabotaging myself coming out. And I've also talked to that with you and with other people about it, any concerns I've had or thoughts, and I just kind of let it go. There was a turning. I think the prompt for this was like, at what point did I kind of get it?
Right. Right.
And I'd say, I don't know, probably around episode. I really don't have a specific episode.
But when you realize the enormous weight and the enormous potential that this has, you know, on both the individual and the listener, the person that's sharing and the people that are sharing with them.
Yeah, and my responsibility in it all, and making sure that I'm and I do prep work with each guest. By prep work, I mean I speak to them about what they want to talk about and figure out a way to craft. And also, most importantly, what don't they want to talk about? Like, and that's a kind of a weird question to ask, because if they don't want to talk about it, they might not want to bring it up to me. But if somebody has something that, it's happened like a lot with people, like I have family situation or a spouse, like some like stuff like that has come up, and like I can't talk about it. Like, don't. And by that, like, they're like, don't bring it up. And I always tell them, listen, if I ask you anything that, like, you don't want to answer, like, you don't have to answer at all. You can say, I'm not comfortable. You can say that. We can also edit it out. Like, I work with each guest on what they want to, like, I work with the guests. And obviously, I don't give up full, like, I give up a lot of, like, control in that sense. Like, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's life for the sake of getting clicks or, like, getting to say something they're not ready to. That's not what I'm trying to do. So, like, in a way, if the guest wants to listen to the episode before it gets released, or they want final edit, I've done that with a guest where they needed, for their situation, they needed complete, like, they needed to listen back to every single thing. And I had to go back and long process, but it was 100% worth it because it was such an incredible episode. It was one of my all-time favorites. And I'm willing to work with every guest, but it does get to a point where, like, where I know when I listen, when I'm in the podcast, like, I know about something about the other person. In the moment, I'm like, oh, they're going to miss out on so much context. Or, like, I get moved in the moment because I know something about that person that they're not ready, that they're not, right. Don't want to talk about. So for myself, it's like, oh my God, like, the listener's going to, like, it's probably thinking in their head, like, why aren't you asking more about this? And, like, I'll just leave it completely being, like, people listening back and be like, oh, well, it hasn't happened to me yet why anyone's asked me, but I always think about, if I was listening, like, oh, I'd want to know more. Like, why did that person ask any questions? Or why didn't they push further? And the answer is sometimes because we prepped and they don't want to go there. And a lot of times I'm human, you know. I ask questions that I'm interested in, and I don't always think of the best ones. They just try and do the best in the moment. So that's definitely been a part of it. Is that's the hardest part, actually, for me. Was at least in the beginning excruciatingly painful to listen back to each episode. I hate listening to my own voice. At least I did. Now I've gotten used to it. I used to have to listen on 2x speed on Apple Podcasts, and now I'm at 1.5x, which is my huge standard for.
Soon you'll be loving the sound of your voice. Yeah. You'll be listening on half speed for several hours per episode. It'll be great.
Show me now. If I listen to anything for half speed, is like, I don't got time for, like, I don't got time for that. But yeah, so I'd say, finishing off the question, where I'm at now with where it is, it's I'm completely different. I think I'm kind of in state between stage 2 and stage 3. Stage 0 to 1 was like just, you know, actually doing the recordings. Then between 1 and 2 was actually publishing on social media, which was crazy. A lot of anxiety about that. And am I really going to do this? You know, I recorded my story, which talked a lot about things that happened in my life and with family members and friends and stuff like that. And I'm putting out there to the world. I knew that I had a responsibility. If I was going to do it, I needed to actually, like, do it to the best of my ability. And of course, I left certain things out. Like, I had good close friends that are like, oh, why didn't you talk about this? And I was like, I have family members that, like, are gonna, that like, and people in my life that are like, it's not just me. It's
right.
Of course, like, I couldn't, but for the most part, I was as open and honest as I could be. And, you know, I had to deal, like, with my family. I know my parents listened to it, and I told them before recording, like, I was doing it, but was I going to change my mind? I told them, like, this is going to be out there. I did my best to be as respectful as possible, and thankfully I haven't had much pushback there at all, actually. So I've been, like, very lucky. But it's completely been, since that point, it's kind of been very interesting.
Right. So you said stage 0 to 1 was recording. Stage 1 to 2 would be, you know, the equivalent of publishing out there. And what do you say is 2 to 3 that's going on right now?
So I'd say 2 to 3 is where I'm actually in right now, and I feel like I'm on the verge of converting between 2 and 3. 2 is kind of now been this, you know, getting to a point of really putting out an episode a week for the most part. I've had rough batches. I haven't done the math yet, but I feel like since I really started and put it out there, I've been pretty trying to be as consistent as possible. It's not so easy, you know. There are times where I go through, as you know, as somebody I speak to on the daily about it. It's not so easy to get guests, and there are times where I have I'll be like a long like backed up where I have so many guests and I haven't had to record. But sometimes it's hard to get a guest, and that part plays a part into it. So I think once I get to three, will be a more stable guests where I'll also be converting into starting to break out of an audience. I don't actively try and stay in an audience. I just, those are the people that I get.
Well, it's also part of growing up and spending your entire life in a certain circle and a certain bubble, you know, which is to no fault of your own. But, you know, how many outside interactions have you had from, you know, the modern Orthodox Jewish Upper West Side, New Jersey, you know, suburban, you know, young community, you know, I mean, hopefully what you'd imagine and what you'd hope would happen would be kind of like what happened with our buddy Shrey, is that you have a friend who hears about something and says, this is spectacular, you know, wants to join, or Ted, you know, or Ted or something like that, you know. But
yeah, of course. But that, once I get to that part, you know, just between two and three, what, and I'm very excited, I think we're on the verge too. There's a big, like, you know, there's a project that I've been thinking a lot about and building out, you know, the more so than the podcast, creating a platform to go along with it, a website and a community, a place for people to, that don't want to, you know, open up on aren't so verbal and don't want to go on a podcast and speak for an hour, hour and a half, but maybe you're better writers.
Sure.
And they want to write. So providing them a platform where they can write that and they can put their name to it. They can write it anonymously if they want to, is something I'm, you know, thinking a lot about this podcast has been very awesome to do, but it needs to evolve, and the best way for it to evolve is to continue to grow out of its own comfort zone, which is my own comfort zone and what I'm willing to do. You know, I'm not against any ideas of how I should do this, and the problem is always going to be feedback. It's getting authentic feedback, and it's very hard to come by in life and in the content game. Nobody wants to. It's going to be very hard for somebody to tell me they didn't like it. Because they're going to think it's going to hurt my feelings.
I've told you that before.
Yeah, and to be honest, if...
And there have been times you disagreed. We literally have disagreed. Where I said an episode was a 4 out of a 3 out of 10, and you've said, I'll give that a 6 or 7, you know? And
right. And there are ones that I haven't liked as much as... And you've liked, and other people have really liked. And, you know, knowing who I can put weight into and having you has been awesome, you know, as a bouncy board, because you'll actually tell me what you think. And even if you will hold back your punches, you're doing it with my own best interest. Now, somebody who says I like every episode,
it's not someone you believe.
I mean, it's not someone I don't believe. I just, what do you think you're doing? Like, what do you, like, if you really like every episode, then, like, I don't know, there's no other way for you to prove it, but, like, you know, when people like give me feedback, like I give, the best way to do is to let, it's hard. And like, listen, it's not so easy, and I don't expect everyone to do it, but hey, what did you like? What didn't you like? Like I can take it. And I actually, if you actually like want the podcast to get better and to grow, like it's actually necessary.
Right.
But yeah, no, you know, in terms of the podcast, growing it out, I'm happy to work with people. If one person isn't comfortable going on alone, like you have a friend or somebody that you want to come on to and talk about, exchange ideas about, like that's an open forum I'm willing to do multiple people on. If somebody wants to, you know, host a conversation with their friend but doesn't have the platform or doesn't want to go through the thing of starting their own podcast, like you want to just take the podcast for the week?
Right.
I mean, I'd have to obviously do extensive editing and to go through it, but I'm not against that. Right. It's not really only about me. It's a platform for me, by like I created for the common person, by the common person. Like there's so much that can be done here, and you know, we talk a lot about it, and I think a lot about it. It's now time to, you know, start executing. It's not a game. It's not a project anymore. It's kind of like, this is really it. You know, as we've been targeting bigger guests.
Works in progress. No spoilers. Works in progress.
No spoilers, but
you got to be savage with these guests, man. I'm telling you.
Listen, we're working on it, but it's not like, there are days where I have my down days, as anybody else can and does have, and those days are not so easy. And I'm not, funnily enough, I don't think I'm the most open person as is. So you know, I think there are people that I know when I did this podcast and I did my story, that there are people in my life that are going to hear new things. And also in every episode, you know, when I reflect and hear back, there are new people that I know that are listening to it. I'm COVID's actually in a way helped and hurt, because it's prevented me from actually having those interactions with people that might be like embarrassed. I might become, I don't know, not embarrassed or shame might not be the right word, but uncomfortable in a way of like, oh, you're the guy who does
the podcast. Vulnerable. It's the same thing as an incredibly common theme in the podcast is vulnerability. You are known as the vulnerability guy. That's a crazy thing to remember.
I think my biggest problem is vulnerability. So in my personal life, at least. So it's like somebody could listen to this and get a whole different idea of who I am than I think that I am. That's also kind of weird. I don't know. It's just been a very strange dynamic for me. And I battle it, like, I'd say on the reg, really.
Right.
It's been very hard. And, you know, like I said, I'm talking about these struggles, and I'm going to have friends that are going to listen to this. Like, oh, why don't you talk to me about it? And it's like, I don't know, man. It's not so easy. It's just not so easy. I don't know if we have to create the space to do it, or I might not be like ready to do that. So kind of worrying about all that. And then again, a lot of this is made up in my own head. It's my own perception of things. It's not necessarily reality. And if I do, like I also do have people in my life that I do talk to about certain things that I keep to myself.
Well, I wonder, and you can tell me what you think about this. I wonder if it's easier. And I mean, I know from a personal level that I probably experienced this the one or two times that I came on. Is it easier to, do you think it's easier? Do you think it has a different impact on the guest, especially of the podcast, when there's no face, you know, staring at them, when there's no opposing body language or your own body language that's tangible in the room? Do you think it's easier to open up and to, you know, for example, I'm sure out of almost all your guests, I would put money on the fact that almost all your guests have said something that they're not comfortable saying to their friend or their family member. Do you think it's because you're speaking into a blank space, into a phone, into a voice, as opposed to speaking to a human being, and that fundamental difference of a lack of another presence to judge you or to scrutinize you makes the difference? Is that you think that has something to do with it?
Sure, why not? I mean, I think so. You really have to ask people that have done it. I will say if somebody's on the other end of it now, I think our conversation, if we were in person right now, face to face, would be a lot different. You'd be able to read facial cues, social cues. Just you'd be able to pick up on energy of where to go, where to attack, so not the right word, but where to go and not to go. Just by look, it's also a lot harder to ask someone a question to their face,
right?
Than you did. So in a lot of ways, I think it's definitely a different dynamic. For those who don't know, these are all done like through an app called Anchor, and shout out to Anchor. Unbelievable. Anybody who's interested in starting a podcast, I highly recommend checking out Anchor and using them. If you have any questions about how to start one or questions at all, please reach out. I'd love to be a resource in any way that I can and to help. But getting back to it, yeah, I think it's very interesting. I did one in person with I think it was episode 12 with one of my childhood best friends and his wife, Joe Nechama Aronoff. And if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend checking out all the episodes, but that one in particular was incredibly special for me to do. And that was the only one I've actually done in person. And it was a whole different dynamic. Just having one thing, be able to look at them. And, you know, also it was the first time I ever did two people and being able to, you know, actually point, and we'd be able to actually signal to each other who's going, who wants to go next. Like someone could raise their hand or I could point, or, you know, you could just actually read their facial cues. And it brought up a whole new dynamic. I don't know if it changed the question. I don't think it changed the questions that much, but it probably did. It's a different dynamic. I don't know, but I am looking forward to it. And people have asked like, oh, like why not do it on Zoom? I don't like Zoom. I just combining tech, I'd rather, and with sound quality, I haven't found them to be great.
Yeah,
so that's kind of been a thing for me. But that's really it. And I do think once this podcast evolves, and I'm especially as hopefully COVID restrictions are, people are, you know, if I'm able to do them face to face in person safely with COVID, like I'll do that as well. Travel if I need to, but
right, you and I have spoken about, you know, a dream to be able to, you know, have a room or have a space and have a setting and be able to sit someone down, get to really, you know, get them to be a little loose, get them to be comfortable, get them to see that we're all in the same, you know, we're just talking. We're just people that are fascinated in one another's stories. And, you know, we're dreaming of this kind of space. And until then, and I'm sure the dynamic will be fundamentally different than doing these over the phone and doing them over Anchor, where you could, you know, you really have a setting and a place for it. And I think that the podcast is going to take on a whole new identity when you're able to sit down with somebody and really in the same room in a comfortable, relaxed setting and really be able to just pick at one another's brains and talk and share and facilitate. And you do this so well. And I want to get back to this point after, you know, to facilitate. You know, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, video component. I think creating a video component also, where I personally enjoy watching podcasts. I like watching people talk and the dynamics that go into it. But I'm also, for the most part, like anyone else who commute, if you commute, like when I was commuting or if I'm going for a walk or running or doing whatever I'm doing, I listen also, but I do think creating an environment, which I actually think is in a way a little depending, it's really dependent on the content that you're doing for podcasts. I think anybody who's coming on my podcast is already primed and ready to speak, and they just have to be given a chance to, right? They already have, if someone's coming on, they already have something they want to talk about. They're interested in speaking about, they're already ready to go. So it's not necessarily about even getting them to be comfortable. It's just about navigating, like I said, I prep for the most part with every guest. Some people are like, nothing's off limits. Like, okay, they told me a little bit about them. And like, you know, my first prompt question sometimes will just be like, well, just to get the conversation rolling, is like, why are you here? Or what has your experience been like dealing with mental health? And then from there, I know how to build an arc for the episode. It took me a little, it obviously takes me time with every episode. I think I get a little sharper and a little better at it. But yeah, just kind of figuring out a way to help that person get their story out. And I speak about this with you all the time. I personally, which is hard for me to do because I'm doing it right now, and it's very hard for me to do, I get very confused and very worried about if I'm talking too much in an episode, if I'm going, you know, trying to build the connection. The episode, depending on the guest, is either completely, you know, on them, but also they want to talk about certain topics. So that's where I will come in, you know, kind of relate to them. And I'll try and do it also to help them feel a little comfortable. Each guest says, for the most part, says the exact same thing to me. At the end, I wish I wasn't so nervous and it wasn't so scary at all. Not what I would have thought it would be in, like, in a great way.
You roll it back and you start over again.
No, they all say it's a lot better than they thought it would be. And they think, oh, like, I wish, like, I'd known this, like, for the next time or, like, stuff like that. And, you know, but there's no telling. I tell guests this, but you can actually hear an episode when the guest gets more comfortable. And I think maybe, yeah, if you get back to your question, like, chatting before, like, that's not, I don't really do that for the most part. It really just goes straight into it. But, yeah, getting to chatting, creating a studio with an environment would obviously change the dynamic probably for the better, but right now it's not in the cards yet.
Right.
But yeah, right. I mean, it's an evolution.
It's the time that we're living in, you know. I mean, right now social interaction isn't really something that's too it's too accessible.
I mean, yeah, just figuring out, like, you know, even building out, you know, investing in equipment. I've been doing a lot. Like, that's also part of, like, getting the next thing. It's actually investing in a microphone and learning, I don't know whether it's learning how to really edit. Like, people ask me about, like, editing. Like, for the most part, unless, like, I don't think there have been 10, not 10, definitely haven't been 10, like, 10 even, like, things that I've edited out. Like, I could probably count on one hand, really, probably five things I've ever had to edit out. Most of them were guest-related, like, guest things or, like, sound, or the other ones are, like, just sound things. But for the most part, they're unedited and completely raw.
Right.
And that, I think, I don't know.
It's very special.
Yeah, it's just very different than I think most podcasts that people listen to. I don't think they really, like, there's not really any gimmicks. It's kind of just the idea is just to put the recording device down and create the environment as if we're two people just speaking, and people who are listening to it can feel like they're watching it live or listening to it live or feel like they're part of the conversation. And that's kind of what I'm trying in a way to create the environment to do while also figuring out my own place in it, you know. In terms of figuring out, like, what I'm going to do with the podcast, you know, I've had completely different ideas of you know, whether to bring it up from once a week to doing it twice a week. And if I have guests that I can do that, sure. But what if I don't have guests? Would people be interested? I've thought about, like, you know, breaking down like a certain topic, but I'm not an expert in it. And like, I'm happy to learn from it. I don't know if that people would even be interested in that. I don't think I'd be interested in that. Like, if I always ask myself as a listener, if I was listening to the podcast, like I think the demographic of people who would listen to this content, if somebody else was doing it, would I be interested in that from somebody who's not an expert? And I'm working on getting experts, and that's something that I'm actually working on. Like, maybe it's like one person and then one expert as like two episodes a week, maybe breaking down something. But I don't know, you know, it really depends on how these next few months go, whether it staggered, whether it kind of just stays flat or whether it continues to build. I don't know.
Well, I think, I mean, and you know, and you know what I think, so it's almost not even worth saying, but I really wholeheartedly believe that this is something that I think in the next couple of months deserves. I think that this platform deserves to be built up. And part of the reason, which is the next question I'm going to ask you, and I'm sure it's going to be something that it's going to give our listeners a little bit of insight into you. So I hope you don't mind, but, when you're the host of a podcast, you have two options, and the boundaries are so blurred, and the lines are so blurred between a position of power and a position of facilitator. And you have managed consistently, you know, and if you listen back, and you know, if anyone's listening until now, you hear, you know, you speak and you say, you know, you are so incredibly aware and acutely aware as to the fact that your position here is just a facilitator, and you want to keep it at that when you could really be in a position of power and really push people into talking about things, or, you know, push certain topics or agendas. And you might even know, again, that it might be getting clicks and it might be getting more listeners. How do you as a person, you know, not as a host, as David Izzo, you know, how do you keep the line of, I'm going to stay focused on facilitating. I'm going to stay, you know, I'm merely just a tool to keep this conversation flowing. And, you know, I'm not going to take power or a position of power or, you know, or manipulation even into the episode. Because I feel like, and I mean, I would imagine that many, many people that host podcasts and many, many people that are controlling direction, you know, that are hosting, their position of control. They can define where the podcast is heading, the questions that are asked, the routes that people take, and the way they elaborate. How do you, as an individual, stay as a facilitator and don't let the potential of power get into your head?
It's like hard to even, like, that's just not my mindset of what I'm doing. Like, podcast isn't for me. In the sense of, like, I don't do this to get my own, like, if I wanted to get my own story out, like, I could just do that, right?
Well, I'm not talking about your own story, but I'm talking, you know, if you're, let's just say you're doing an episode with me, for example, you know, and you and I know each other pretty well at this point, and you know that there's certain things that you know that you might want to hear that might get you more clicks, that might be make a better story, and I'm not bringing them up. You know, you have two paths ahead of you. You have the position to say, let the guy go in the direction he's going to go, or let me steer him along the way. And you've been incredibly consistent in just letting them go.
Well, how many guests do you think I'd have if I want? Like, to me, it's like, I don't even like.
But you wouldn't be able to hear it. If, for example, now let's just say you were trying to steer. Let's just say you steered me in a direction that I wasn't entirely comfortable with, right? And someone else is listening, and they say, "Wow, this is really spectacular content. You know, I would love to come on this show," right? Meaning, I don't even know that it's necessarily to the detriment.
How do you know I have it?
Well, aside from personal experience?
I'm saying, like, you've been a two-time guest, but there might be somebody out there who might feel that way. I don't know because I haven't heard it yet, but it's possible. Listen, the way I do my prep is as in-depth with the person I let them. It's not very complicated. Some prep calls have gone an hour. Some have gone.
We've been on one that's gone over two.
Yeah, I mean, I've done multiple ones that have gone. I did one for an hour and a half with somebody, 2 hours, you know, and then recorded a 2-hour episode like a few days later, a week later, like with the person. Like that's kind of how it goes. And we, once I get there and I can really ask them, like in the prep calls, you know, I don't consider it to be hard work. I just ask them what they're comfortable talking, like what do they want, like why are they here, like what do they want to even talk about, and what's unmentionable. Once I understand what's unmentionable, and then they feel comfortable that I'm not going to bring it up, and once I don't bring it up, and they're in the awareness, I guess, while they're doing it, I guess there's this level of trust probably. But I don't even think that's it. I think it's just about understanding what the podcast is for. And right. It's not, if I don't create an environment, I don't think people would tune in to me talking about my life. So me making it about me is not interesting.
I wouldn't say about you, but I would say about you manipulating the conversation direction that you want it to head. Of course it wouldn't be about you.
Of course I manipulated the way I want it to head. The way I want it to head is in combination with what the guest, where I think the guest might want to go. I don't know for sure. Like, it's not scripted out.
Right, so it's facilitating. You stray away from position of power. You stray away from position of I'm going to, you know, disregard, or, you know, this person might feel relatively uncomfortable with that. I'm going to disregard that for the sake of the, you know, for the individual's sake, and sacrifice quality conversation or quality content for that.
Well, I mean, I push for sure. There are times where I think I've literally said with a guest, like to get them to like nail down what they've been talking about, I think I literally straight up and I quote said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I've said that, and I know I've said it, and I've asked people to like relapse. And maybe I'll do it in more subtle. I probably, for the most part, I think I've only done that once, but in more subtle ways, I'll ask them to like
elaborate
or explain, or to say it again, and to make sure, I'll say to make sure I understand. Maybe I'll even, and then I'll let them kind of go. But, you know, there are times where I'll tell you this part, what has been very frustrating and also rewarding in the same time, is where I speak with a guest and they tell me what they want to talk about. And then they don't, and then I like tee it up for them, like guide them to where they've told me that they want to go. And then they don't take, like, I'm teeing it up for them and they don't hit the ball. Like, you told me where I thought you wanted to go, and I'm doing my best there. And I'll tell you, there have been times where I'm literally like, while I'm recording, like racking my brain, like going like, what is going on here? Why aren't they doing it? And there are times where
you won't put the words in their mouth.
No, never. Because if they're not listen, I'm just same way. I'm aware of it. They're aware of it. If they want to talk about it, they may think that's the thing. I think that people don't understand is that you can think that you're ready to talk about something until you actually put in the position. You might not be, and it's very scary. The bright light—it's not metaphorically. The bright lights come on. The pressure, heartbeat starts maybe beating quickly. And you're not sure if you want to go there. And some people push through it, some don't. Sometimes, like, I'll tell you this much, like, after there's only a certain amount of times where I'll tee it up until I get to the point, well, okay, like, you said you want to do this, I've given you the option. If it's going to come up, you'll bring it up at this point. I'm not going to go there anymore. I think it's just common sense, and more so just.
I think it's more decency than sense, by the way. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit for it. I think that if a lot of people, and this might just be my, you know, opinion, if you asked 10 people to be in a position that you're in, I don't know if all of them would necessarily have I don't know if a majority of them would have the common decency to think, I'm not going to put these words in the mouth, even though when you prepped they wanted to do it, even though they mentioned they want to do it, and, you know, and let's just get it done with. I think that is part of what makes your hosting this podcast so unique. It's that you are committed to facilitation and facilitating rather than anything else. And I think that that's incredibly, incredibly commendable.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. I just, from my point of view, I don't like see it that way. I really just see it as, like, the way you even said earlier, like, oh, convert to clicks. Like, I don't know that it's actually going to convert into make it more interesting or better. I think what makes good content are raw moments. And I don't think that that will lead to it. I think if I ever ambush somebody like that or like force them to talk, but I think you'd probably hear a lot of, yeah, so about X. And then they just kind of dance around it because they're not really ready for it. It might work like 30% of the time, or maybe it's even 70% of the time. I just don't. I don't know. It's not really what I try. It's not really my goal. My goal is to get. And listen, it actually has been very frustrating. Of course, I wish there were times where I know that someone has like this incredible thing, and it just they never bring it up, or they'll just like touch on it a little bit and then like scurry away from it. And that's just awareness in the moment. Where I'll, in my head, I might be going like, "What the fuck?" But like, just because like I'm mouth thrown off of where I kind of want to go for a lot of the part. Like, I don't have like. I talk about like creating a narrative or a story or an arc or like guiding the conversation. I do that, but I'm doing that on the fly. Like, I don't have written notes. Like, for some people, I've had written notes out in front of me, like with questions. Those are the ones I in prep. Like, I know are going to go more straight back and forward. And some of them that I don't know where that were like are more like part like their story, but also want to break into a conversation. That part where I don't need notes in front of me to do. So I'm kind of just doing it on the fly. I'll go where they'll go, and I'll just try and guide them to where they've told me in the prep where they wanted to go, while also updating that information in real time with, you know, what they're actually talking about. And sometimes I've had conversations where we never even got to like what they actually wanted to talk about in the first part. Like, it never even came up at right. all by them, by me. It just never happened because the conversation just got away from it.
Right. Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen over here. And we're over an hour in. And when I called you today to prep, and I really thought this is going to be more, and this has been actually incredibly revealing, but I thought this was going to be a, you know, Effie or Fryan grilling David Izzo, you know, in this, and putting David in the hot seat the same way that everyone else has been in the hot seat. And it has been. And then you told, and it has been in a very, very, very fascinating and telling way. But you also said that this was, you felt that you owed, especially the consistent listeners or the audience, you know, an idea as to where you think the podcast has been and where it's going. And, you know, and we discussed the different phases. We discussed, you know, 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to potentially on the way to 3. It's been the course of 6-7 months. I personally think that this has, I don't think that anyone, you know, even yourself potentially, and you could tell me, had even thought that when you started this over the summer that this would still be going on in February. Where do you see this going on by the time summer rolls around again? You know, we're the shareholders, and you're the board of directors. You know, where do you hope to see the company in a couple of months?
I'm worried I'm gonna fuck it up.
Why? You haven't for 7 months. Why do you think that?
I'd say I'm not where I should be, while also acknowledging that just being where I'm at is a success, if that makes sense.
Where do you think you should be?
I think I should feel, not feel is not the right word. I think I should have already diversified my guests. Like, there's just more I could be doing. I should have a website. Like, there's so many things I should already have done. As somebody who's doing this with so much time on my hands, and I just need to be converting more. But to answer your question, where do I think we'll be by summer? I'm hoping with a much more stable guest list, a functioning website, and exposure to more people. Building out social, that's something that I know I'm just awful at. If anybody out there is interested in becoming a part of this.
I was gonna say it's a shameless plug
and I'll tell you why. I'll say it because people tell me all the time about how can, like, I love what you're doing. I love to help in a lot of ways, and, you know, and then they like don't help at all, like the easiest way, which is like, you know, sharing the podcast that they do. And I don't put any pressure on anyone to really do that for the most part, but it just is very, it's very hard. And I never tell anyone to post them. I just tell them, like, here, I'm going to be posting at this time on this date, and I'll update. And I started doing stories, but people ask me all the time how they can get involved. And that's, I mean, if you're somebody who understands social or like is interested in becoming involved, is passionate about this and wants to help, like, I'm open just to, for tips. Like, what would you, like, I personally don't want to do like overload people with content and with posts that I do myself. But if I outsource that to somebody else, I wouldn't think twice about how much. I mean, I'd notice it and be like, I think you might be posting maybe a little bit more, a little aggressively, or different content in that part. But I wouldn't even think twice. But if I'm the one who's hitting send on all these stuff, oh my God, I hate it. I'm not a social media person that way. It's just not what I like to just do the content. I like to record the episode. I like to think about the podcast and try and figure out where to grow it and how to strategically do that. But in terms of social media, I think that's something I need to be better at. And I hope, if this, God willing, this is still going on in the summer, which I plan for it to be in an evolved form, at least.
We will make sure of it.
We'll have more social media. And, you know, you said like, oh, where you thought it was going to go and grilling, and we can do that, man. You want to, if people are going to be interested in that, like, I'll do it if people want to know. I thought would be an interesting angle is to combine the two. And I thought it would come out naturally, which I don't know if it has or not yet. That's not for me to decide. That's for other people too. But if anyone has any questions, like, you think that they'd want to know, like, feel free to ask. Like, I'll answer anything that I can answer in the best of my ability. Obviously, if there are certain questions that people have that I can't get into, I'll say, like, I can't do it the same way I'd ask any guest to, and no guest has, so maybe I'll be the first to. So if you want to go into that, we can.
I think it's interesting because there's nothing quite as articulate or as telling as, you know, about a person, as hearing them talk about something they're passionate about, and then understanding based on the terminology and based on the language that they use and based on the stories that they tell, what it is that they're saying, you could tell almost who and how and what they are, you know. And I think that and it's been phenomenal listening to the way that you've been talking about the podcast, the way, you know, for example, even just now, I said, what do you think is going to be in 6 months? You said, I think I'm going to have fucked it up. That's telling, Dave. You know what I mean? You're in the hot seat and you're answering these questions with your entire being, you know? And I think that anyone listening to this and anyone, you know, any audience member is really saying, you know, wow, like, you know, I really have a clear idea. You know, I mean, the first half, I guess, of your story, you know, which was more about your past, was a pretty linear story. You have you going in, you have you saying, this was me from a young age to middle school, to high school, to Israel, to the Upper West, to college, to the Upper West Side. And here I am now, you know, and I think that where you are now, the way that you talk and the descriptions that you use and the perspective that you display, these are all very telling things about you in a way that's very real and genuine and raw and honest and authentic. So I guess my last question for you is, you want one message. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be, because this isn't the usual episode, this doesn't have to be advice, but a message to the listeners, a message to the people that are going to be sharing this podcast and sharing this episode and going through it. You have the stage, you get to close out and really say what you would like people, honestly, you know, from your perspective, to hear from you.
I'll reiterate the message I gave at the end of the last one, because I believe it's what still stands true today, and it's something I wholeheartedly believe, that it gets better and you're not alone. You have people and resources that can help you, and you shouldn't feel ashamed to ask for help and to say, I'm not okay. It's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to struggle, and it's okay to keep working on getting through it. People go through it. You're not the only one. And lastly, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you to everybody who's been a part of this podcast, to everybody who listens, to every guest that has come on and been so open and honest and vulnerable about their stories, to all the people who have helped me start this podcast. We're thinking back to all the conversations I've had when this idea was just such a baby concept and didn't know how it would come through, and talking about for hours with people about how, which should it be, a long form or short form, what type of content, guests, and all that stuff. It was all that noise that came and became this podcast. And it's not just me, it's all of you guys. Without it, I wouldn't be able to do it. And to all the people who've helped and supported me along the way, and all the people who've sent the kind messages about what the podcast has meant to y'all, I can't stress it enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to take the time now to thank Effie Hirschman for interviewing me and helping me get that out. It's not so easy for me to talk about podcasts and myself, and he did a really incredible job. Please, everyone, stay tuned in a couple days for part two, a short, much shorter episode detailing and going through what's been going on with me.
And again, if anybody out there is interested in coming onto the podcast, please reach out. You can find me at don'tworryaboutitpodcast@gmail.com, my Instagram, Don't Worry About It Podcast, or my Facebook by the same name. Thank you guys so much for listening, and please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. That's one of the most important things on helping me grow the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you in a couple days.